Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, I'm excited. I'm sitting here for the first time in the Dudes on Hockey studio in what feels like
at least
a three-game losing streak. Maybe four.
Maybe two three-game losing streaks. Different places.
Dude, it's good to be here. It's good to see your face.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
It's good to have you back, dude.
Yeah, dude. I'm excited here to look at your set list for your gig that's coming up. Those of you who don't know, Mike is a accomplished cover band musician.
Is there such a thing?
Yes, there is, dude.
I wasn't aware that existed.
You're in demand, and I'm looking at your set list for your Wham cover band that you're playing on Friday night.
I get to play Andrew Ridgely, by the way. Oh. Not George Michael. I'm Andrew Ridgely.
Okay. Oh, good.
If that is his name. That may be wrong.
If you want to see Mike and his Wham cover band on Friday, tickets are going quick, but don't worry. There's plenty of time to catch him in his Wings cover band on Saturday.
I'll be on the corner of 2nd and Main.
And then he'll be starring in a community theater production of Pippin on Sunday.
I'll be like Ben Vereen. I'll leave it there.
Maybe one person thought that was funny.
And that was you, I think.
No, there are some people
who listen
to this.
Oh, you didn't think that was
funny? Oh, I did think it was funny.
Oh, okay.
But there'll be other listeners who know who Ben Vereen is.
Ben,
if you know who Ben Vereen is, please write us an email at questions@dudesonhockey.com or send us a glitter-filled tweet.
Oh, God. Ben Vereen jokes are always gold. All right,
man,
dude.
We're stalling.
We're just trying to get away from the fact.
I want to make something clear. Okay.
There's something clear about the Sharks
right
now?
No, I want to make something clear. I refuse, and I've been really good about this for the last week. I refuse to get too high and low. We told ourselves that that's exactly how we were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get that. It's not good right now. And last night was
bad.
Maybe the worst of the worst, right?
Yeah.
Let's start with that. You were at that game.
I was.
What do you think about the performance that you saw?
Oh, it was bad. It was just horrible. One thing that, you know, I contrasted with the Buffalo game, because I was at the Buffalo game when the Sharks have now lost to the two worst teams in the NHL, Buffalo and New York Islanders, which is great. Really a badge of honor. I think they're going to have a new banner at the Tank. They're going to unveil.
Maybe they should play the Bulls and make it 3-for-3.
I felt like there were times, actually even in the first period, that I felt like my rec league team could keep up with the way that game was being played. That game was like the slowest game, most lethargic period of hockey. And I know the shot total was 18-3 or something in the first period. And yeah, the Sharks carried the day. The Sharks played better than the Islanders. But to say the Sharks played well in the first period actually is quite a stretch in my view. I thought they played slightly better than one of the worst teams in the NHL. And the Islanders played bad. That was the thing about Buffalo. Buffalo didn't play that bad when they played the Sharks. Buffalo looked actually fairly decent at stretches. They looked okay. I mean, they're not a good team either, obviously. But they looked like they were really sort of trying and they were going around and, you know, oh, wait, we might be able to win here. Okay, I'm going to try. There was none of that from the Islanders. The Islanders just suck. They just suck, and the Sharks ended up just basically sucking worse. I mean, the second period was okay. Play definitely picked up in the second period. The Sharks scored two goals. They scored one on the power play. All the other power plays looked like hell. That one power play was, you know, okay, I guess. And they scored two goals, and it was like, okay, well, the Islanders are so bad, even the Sharks can't cough that up. Well, we were wrong. The Sharks can cough that up. Because they got kind of a fluky goal to start the third period, kind of a bad sequence of events, a couple bad bounces, and then they got a little desperate late in the game, pulled the goalie, shot one through traffic, and it went in, and that was it. And the Sharks looked just not like they cared. They didn't really look like they cared. And they were actually, I thought the best line of the night was the Havlat line, to be honest. And I thought it wasn't close. Mm-hmm. I thought the Havlat line was by far the best.
I know, which means he'll get scratched tomorrow.
Right. And I know Kerr said the Marleau and Couture line was the best, and they played well. But I thought there were several extended stretches where the Havlat line was hemming them in and keeping the puck and cycling. Not necessarily great scoring chances, but certainly they looked like they were really trying. But everybody else just looked bad.
It was a bad game for Vlasic and Braun, you know, two guys you don't normally see struggle. I mean, they were on the ice for both those goals. I'm not saying it's their fault, but they were there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those are the two guys that you're kind of looking at as your rocks, and they're out there, you know, taking minuses in that game. It's discouraging when you're blowing leads to Carolina and the Islanders.
Yeah.
Like, that's discouraging. I mean, those should be 4 points. And the Sharks are walking away from those games with the 1 point.
And the Islanders were on like a 10-game losing streak.
10-game losing streak. Yep. And, you know, their coach is basically on death row, you know.
Oh, yeah.
About to get the lethal injection.
Oh, totally.
And they got a shootout win over us. So that's not good, you know. But as bad as that is, it would not surprise me if the Sharks rattle off three in a row.
That's
or four
right.
in a row. Like, I just... This team is so super streaky in one direction or another. I mean, are we still ahead in the Pacific Division?
I don't think so.
Look it up, dude.
I'm looking it up.
Look it up.
All right. I want to get to the email, though, dude. No, we're not. We're third in the Pacific. We're all 3 points back.
All right. But it's still close. And we've got two games in hand on the Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good news. I mean, you don't want to not have home ice in that. But we're not even to the halfway point yet.
The Kings have won 5 straight. Let me get to Pal's question, because he emailed the questions at dudesonhockey.com is the email address, of course. He said, why do you think it's so hard for the Sharks to close out games? It's not just this year. It's been this way for a long time. I don't have any confidence in them, even with a 3 or 4 goal lead. We know it's not skill. It seems mental, maybe coaching. I watched Chicago and St. Louis, and they seem to have no problem playing with the lead and closing out games. It's frustrating. So... what is it, dude? Why can't they close? They're not closers. Coffee's for closers. They can't close. Crickets.
I know, dude. I just don't have a good answer. I mean, I think that this team, I mean, you're right. I mean, pal, you're right. And it's mm-hmm. been the same basic core group of guys with different supporting cast members that have been part of this issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, who do you point the finger at? I don't know if you can point at one person. It's not Niemi's fault.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, Boyle's fault. It's not Jumbo's fault. It's all their fault, like
mm-hmm.
collectively. So I don't know, dude, is it coaching or is it just a character flaw in this group?
It's impossible to make that calculation, right? I don't know. I don't know what it is. I mean, everybody's got their pet theory, right? And that pet theory tends to align with however that particular person thinks hockey, quote, ought to be played, right? That's how you get 10 different people. They're going to have 10 different opinions. They're going to point fingers at 10 different things because I think hockey should be played this way. I think hockey should be played this way. And they're not doing enough of this or they're doing too much of that. I have no clue. You know, dispassionately, teams blow leads. A lot of teams blow leads. Do the Sharks blow leads more than other teams? Actually, I don't have that data. I don't know, to be honest with you. Maybe they do. They've certainly blown leads lately. What does that mean? I have no idea.
I have no idea. And we don't follow Chicago or St. Louis with any sort of great detail. I mean, we right. like these teams. We know they're good teams and... we follow them as a casual fan would follow the team. But, you know, we know what the identity is of the San Jose Sharks, and we know who their captain is, and we love Joe Thornton, and we think he's a hilarious guy, and he's a great player.
And I can't wait for him to score 4.
But, you know, I mean, it does kind of go back to I mean, you're making a joke about, I can't wait for him to score four, you know, or for him to, you know, score a period, or to, you know, shoot the puck in a shootout situation. So just have it accidentally dribble underneath the goalie's pads. Like, you know, I mean, like this team, you think of St. Louis, you think like tough, you think hard to play against, you think just kind of badasses. And I think when you think of the Sharks, you think of fun guys, you know, skilled.
Yeah. Dangerous.
Dangerous.
But not.
But not tough to play against, I don't think. Whereas Chicago and St. Louis kind of carry that other moniker. So I don't know. I mean, like, I'd be curious to ask some of our podcast colleagues, you know, from, you know, the Blues podcast and the Pens podcast, now that they've seen the Sharks this year, how they would describe them. You know, I'm sure the Penguins podcast would probably laugh in our face.
I know.
Because they whooped our ass, dude.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, should we jump to that game?
Do we have to?
I mean, that was an embarrassment, right?
Yeah, it was on the road, but it was still embarrassing.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, they got worked.
This shouldn't happen.
Yeah,
this shouldn't happen.
It was all one period, too. It's great. They didn't even have Malkin.
I know.
Who might be the best player in the NHL this year.
It just shouldn't happen. Like that. But, you know, and yes, stuff like that happens to every team. You could go through any team that's won the cup or the best teams, and they all have blips like that.
Yeah, I mean, Philadelphia has 29 points. They beat Pittsburgh recently.
I thought I do think Pittsburgh is still beatable. You know, I know you have them in our pool. I don't think they've got the goods to carry it the whole way. You know, I think they'll run into some teams later that are going to knock them out. But I think they are a little too one-dimensional. But they sure look damn good against the Sharks. And they seemed like they could do no wrong, especially in that one period. And that was disappointing. I was ready to get over it when they got to Carolina. I was like, okay. And then the Sharks had the lead early in Carolina. I was like, okay, well, we're going to get 2 points here, and it's okay. We got 2 points in Toronto.
Not a great 2 points in Toronto.
No, but 2 points in Toronto, a tough place to play. I wasn't thrilled with that game, but I wasn't upset.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, okay, first game of the road trip, you're in Toronto, you get the win, good. You know, good. Get out of there. And now, you know, I was going to be happy with 4 points on that trip, and they got two. So, I mean, the Carolina game is pretty disappointing because that Carolina team is also not good.
No.
Not good.
No, they're not.
At all.
They're not good.
And they would make the playoffs right now, which is pretty hilarious.
They're like, I mean, if you
that's
take overtime,
how bad the Metropolitan is.
If you take overtime losses as losses, they're 6 games below 500 and they make the playoffs right now.
Right. Well, that's how bad the Metropolitan is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no way. I will eat this podcast microphone if Carolina makes the playoffs. I'll eat it.
Yeah.
I'll eat the microphone, dude. There's no way. But that.
And then Minnesota.
Yeah. And that game I didn't enjoy watching it at all. Like, and now you're, and this, here's what I want to ask you. So we haven't talked about this. You know, after the Carolina game, the Sharks react by sending down McCarthy
and Nieto
and bringing up Nieto,
bringing
up Hamilton, scratching, they sent down McCarthy, right? Or is he just
scratched? He's a scratch.
So they scratch him, which, I mean, I don't have a problem with that. And now, you know, Martin Havlat, it's all his fault, and he gets scratched again.
Well, they
right?
said he was unavailable. They didn't say he was a healthy scratch.
Okay. Well, he's unavailable.
I think he had the new Xbox One. He got really into it. And he had one game. He just couldn't tear himself away.
He had re-aggravated his pelvic groinus. So he's out. No, I think I heard something about him blocking a shot or something. His you know, third toe on his left foot was a tiny bit red. So he sat out.
Man, that's tough.
They had him not sit in the press box. He actually sat in the bus outside.
Yeah, they had him sit outside the bus because they wanted to save gas.
So he doesn't play, and now they've got these, you know, the two kids, and that didn't help at all. You know, I mean, it didn't change anything, and now they're moving Pavelski all over the lineup,
right?
And now they're mad at Pavelski, and they right. send him down to the fourth line, and I don't know. I mean, like this, it just seems like
yeah,
just fumbling around sometimes when things aren't going right, and just all panic sets in and all the lines get scrambled, and it never seems to fix anything when they do that. That doesn't ever seem to help.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think which is dumber. If things are going really badly and you do nothing to try and fix it, is that dumb? Or you do a lot to try and fix it, which is the way the Sharks seem to be doing it. I mean, which is dumber? It seems like they're both dumb. I mean, because if they did nothing, let's say they were playing awful, right? Like now, just for instance. and they decide, okay, we're not going to change anything. We're just going to keep everybody there. And then everybody continues to suck. And then they reel off like three or four losses in a row. And then what are we all going to be saying? We're all going to be saying, what the hell are they doing? Why don't they change this? Why don't they put this guy here? Why don't they scratch that guy? Why don't they drop this guy to the fourth line? I mean, they're not going to win any way we slice it. If they lose, we're not going to be happy with what they're doing, regardless of what it is that they're doing. I mean, if they kept all the lines exactly the same and we lost to the Islanders, we'd say, well, at least thank God the coaching staff managed to keep all the lines together. No, we would not be saying that, right?
Well, dude, until it works, we're going to criticize it.
Of course. Of course. It's the nature of the game.
The whole issue that I have with moving Pavelski around is, you know, I think we had kind of settled on, okay, Pavelski's going to be the third line center, and that makes the Sharks even deeper. And now you move him up, and the bottom six then just becomes almost a non-factor.
Mm-hmm.
I know you were happy with the Havlat line.
I was.
It still didn't matter because they still lost.
Yeah, yeah.
So they didn't get, you know, any real production anyways.
No, they didn't do anything.
What will happen going into the game against Minnesota? I don't know. I'm not even sure really what to expect.
I'm going to be honest here. I fully expect the Sharks to beat Minnesota tomorrow. Absolutely. My friend Scott that I went to the game with, he said they're going to bottom out tonight, they're going to rebound, and they're going to beat Minnesota on Thursday. And you know what? Because of all these things that we've said, I completely believe that. I think that will happen.
I'm concerned about it. Now, I know Minnesota's playing tonight. Maybe we can take a peek here at the scoreboard and see what happened tonight. But they're losing right now 2-1. Who's in goal for them tonight? Can you see?
Let's see here. It's not hard. It's got to be Harding, right?
Well, yeah, I don't
it's
know.
Hard. It's Harding.
Okay, well, Harding's not going to play tomorrow, so maybe actually we have a chance because... You know, the Sharks have, and they've been thrown around the whole, well, we've been running into, look at all the goalies that are the first stars when they play us.
Yeah.
You know, it's just true that we run into hot goalies, but that excuse only can take you so far.
I mean, Kevin Poulin looked awesome in the first period, but then
I want you to say that sentence again.
I know. No, I was going to finish the sentence. Okay. I haven't finished the sentence.
Oh. Kevin Poulin, I was distracted by your set list.
Okay, the Wham set list is going over here now. So Kevin Poulin looked awesome in the first period, but then he looked very beatable in the second period, and we scored two goals. So, I mean, that's great that he looked great, but he's not going to look like that forever, and he didn't the rest of the game. He looked awesome in the first period, and he made some highlight reel saves, and then he sort of settled down, and the Sharks got a couple goals, and they should have won. So, yeah, it's no kind of excuse. I mean, everybody gets good stretches of playing, and all this kind of stuff, but you know, it is no excuse. I mean, Cam Ward looked bad several times during that Carolina game, and the Sharks still managed to lose. I mean, he looked terrible. He was giving up rebounds like crazy. Couldn't control the puck.
Well, the Sharks were worse defensively.
Exactly,
I mean, they were worse than Carolina. This is not not our best moment, and I feel like it's like an every other week thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like next week, if we're going down the same pattern, we'll have rattled off four in a row, and then we'll be back on top of the division, right?
I am having a lot of difficulty getting super worked up about this recent losing streak. I mean, is it disappointing? Of course it is. I'm not happy about it, but by the same token, I think that we just can't. We don't know what we have here. And if you put all the pieces together, it adds up to, as much as we may not like to admit it, it adds up to a team that's probably not going to go very far in the playoffs, because a team that manages to lose to bad teams on a semi-consistent basis is probably not a team that's going to do that well. I mean, do they have time to turn it around? Of course. They do.
It's so hard to know. I mean, like, because 2 weeks ago, we were feeling pretty damn good mm-hmm. about the Sharks' chances after winning, you know, five in a row at home and beating some pretty darn good teams, albeit, you know, sometimes in the shootout and sometimes by some luck. But wins were wins, and they got them, and they played well, and they started off the road trip good in Toronto, and then things fell apart. So that you're right. It's just, you can't get too high and too low right now. You have to just ride it out and see what happens. I mean, the Sharks are not a bad team, but right now they're not playing well.
They can't seem to play well consistently, which is really the most frustrating thing, right? If this team was terrible and they'd lose a lot, you'd be annoyed and frustrated by it, and maybe you'd stop paying attention because it just sucks.
But that was the problem last year too. I mean, this team was so inconsistent.
It's the same thing.
And then the good part of this story of how it ended last year, I know even though we lost in the second round, the Sharks played their best hockey at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that team that lost in the second round in game 7 to the Kings, I mean, I think we both believe that if the Sharks didn't catch a bad suspension in Rafi Torres, it's very possible they would have won that series.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very, very possible they would have won that series, and they would have at least had an attempt mm-hmm. at Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
At least had an attempt. So, you know, if this is the same group of guys and they're the same inconsistent, lovable rascals that we enjoy watching, then maybe they'll figure it out at the right time, like they did last year. Get that consistency going, get that chemistry going, and maybe Rafi Torres is the magic potion again, dude.
I hope so.
Even on one leg.
I hope so.
Maybe he'll be the magic potion.
This team really misses Rafi Torres.
Yeah, they do.
It's hard to overestimate how much that is, right? We're talking about this team's not tough to play against. Who's out of the lineup that's tough to play against right now, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to like necessarily transform the whole team, but it might. It can cause momentum, and it can change people's way of playing when you have this sort of, you know, guy in your midst that's doing all of these things. And you say, geez, I can do that too. You know, you can see, you've seen that before. You see it.
In this Sharks losing streak, dude, and I don't have the stats in front of me, but like, what has Brent Burns done in these last 4 games?
Not a whole heck of a lot.
So, I mean, we said Burns is the MVP of this team, and mm-hmm. how his presence in the lineup and his effectiveness sort of dictates how this team goes.
Mm-hmm.
And if he hasn't been playing well, so he did not have a point last night against the Islanders.
No.
I don't think he had a point against Minnesota. He wasn't involved in that goal. No, he was not. We're checking on the Carolina game.
Well, there's like 80 goals in that game, so probably something happened there. But maybe not. Yeah, I mean, it's hard. You see, that line was so dominant earlier in the year. He had no points in Carolina.
So,
-1 Carolina.
I mean, we're not pointing fingers here, but listen, I mean, a lot of people today, there was a whole article on CSN Bay Area about Joe Pavelski having the finger pointed at Joe Pavelski. Maybe we need to point the finger a little bit at Brent Burns. I mean, you mm-hmm. know, this guy, he came back and the Sharks got on fire, and we talked about what an important, he had an assist in the
Pittsburgh game,
which is basically meaningless.
Yeah, that was after we were already down 4-0.
By, actually, I think they were Yeah, they were already down 4-0.
Down 4-0 at that point.
So, you know, when that line contributes, the Sharks do well. And that line's done nothing in the last four games, really. So hopefully they can turn around. Dude, they're hitting the road again for a road trip that doesn't look very exciting. The Sharks and Nashville is never a great place to go visit. And that's a long way to go for a game after playing Minnesota. And then I'm going to St. Louis, as well as the Sharks have played against St. Louis this year. That just makes me so nervous. Like, I just feel like that. When is that going to be pulled out from under us?
Yeah.
And then a trip to the Kings.
Yep. So two tough games coming up. The Sharks hopefully can regain their footing against Minnesota. I honestly I expect it. I expect it.
Because
at this point, I don't know what else to expect.
I hope you're right. You know, I hope you're right.
Before you go, actually, I want to talk about a couple things. Actually,
I'm not going anywhere.
Two things that
before you go.
Two things that Kurz has said recently in his articles. One is that Boyle has not been the same since he came back from his injury. Do you agree with that? Because now that I think about it, I totally agree with that. Boyle has not been the same since he came back from that hit from LaPierre. He's not, I'm not saying he's bad, but you see him do stuff that it's just not customary for Dan Boyle to make. Like, he's making certain mistakes he almost never makes. He doesn't seem to be as dynamic. I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, this is pure speculation, but maybe he's still not 100%. That's what I'm guessing.
Are you talking? Because I would disagree about that in the offensive end. But in
they pulled him off the power play this last trip, right? At some point, they pulled him off the top unit and they put on.
Yeah, and then he had two assists last night.
Right, that's true.
So,
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out.
I don't know.
There.
You know what? No, I would say I haven't. I can't circle his name as someone that I've gone, what's going on here, you know? But, you know, it's very possible that I have blinders on for that too, you know?
We're so used to playing him at such a high level. Honestly, like, when I compare, maybe, and it's just selective memory because I read this and I'm preconditioned to think it, but if I think about the way he's played the last 5 games, 10 games since he came back, and I think about the way he played early in the year, it seems like he played better early in the year than he's played the last 10 games. Even, you know, we won 5 in a row or something like that. But again, I could just be, now it's just taken root in my thinking. Anyway, I just want to throw it out there.
I wish I had a strong opinion on it. I think I'm such a fan that maybe I'm unwilling to notice if there's an issue, you know? I don't know. But if there was, it'd be hard to not excuse it a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's true.
We still don't really exactly know what happened to him.
I'm not saying we should scratch him.
No, dude. I know. But sure, I would imagine coming back from what could have been a couple of inches away from a career-ending injury, you know, based on the hit, that has to affect you. I mean, that has to affect you.
Yeah.
You know? But I haven't noticed that as much as it apparently Kurz and maybe you have.
Okay, the other thing is Kurz was, I think, it was some sort of mailbag thing, and he said that if the Sharks could get rid of Havlat's complete salary, they would trade him for a 7th-round pick. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
And do you think they should if they get that offer?
Yes. That's $5 million, dude.
I know. But the cap's going, we saw now the new wrinkle.
He's
the cap's going up.
He's not worth $5 million. He's not worth $2 million.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that.
He's
point.
Not. Like, I mean, what is he? I love the idea of the guy, but that guy, even if he played well on Tuesday, I mean, if that's the best he's played all season, like, you... I feel like for an entire year, you could get the similar type of production out of Matt Nieto. Like, what's the difference, really? If you could clear the $5 million off the books for a seventh and then bring in somebody else on a team that, I mean, let's, you know, say they were able to move him, and let's pretend that, let's see, who would be a good example here of a player that's making a lot of money on a team that might be able to, might be looking to just dump salary.
Claude Giroux. I'm just kidding.
Gosh, I wish I should have walked into this without having a good example. But if there was a player out there that was available that, you know, a team was looking to dump some salary and you had the room,
mm-hmm.
you could now be the beneficiary of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw that, you know, I know you don't like Christopher Stieg as much as I do, but mm-hmm. I mean, if the Sharks were in that position where they were really able to assume a player's salary like that,
right?
And Chicago worked out a pretty sweet deal, you know, in that regard.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they got it. I'd rather have Christopher Stieg than Martin Havlat.
Oh yeah, that's for sure.
I mean, that's no brainer, right?
Right. Hell, I might take even money on Scotty Upshaw at this point.
No one is going to take Havlat at his full hit, dude.
And no one. You think he's going? They're going to buy him out?
I don't think anybody will take him, and I think the Sharks would rather carry him through the end of the year.
They'll carry him through the end of the year and then buy him out next
yes.
year. Buy him out in the offseason?
Yes. Yeah.
That's looking, basically, you could put that in the bank as far as I'm concerned at this point.
Yeah, because I don't think the Sharks will make the deal with a team like Florida did with Versteeg, where they're like, well, you pay half his salary and mm-hmm. we'll take him. No, they'll keep him. They'll get what they can out of him. And if he sucks, they'll play Hamilton Nieto and then they'll buy him out.
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right, dude. I just wanted to get that off my chest.
Dude, what do you think of the shenanigans in the Boston-Pittsburgh game?
You mean like the James Neal knee to the head?
The I didn't mean to knee Brad Marchand.
Which he clearly did.
In the head.
Just like Mike Tomlin didn't mean to go onto the field during that run back.
Or Jason Kidd didn't mean to spill his Coke on the court.
Exactly.
You know about that?
Yeah, yeah.
He ran out of timeouts. He's all,
he suddenly got clumsy. This is like one of the best assists, man. One of the best fans of the NBA in the last 30 years. The guy can't hold on to a couple
of that cost
coffee.
Him 50 grand.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, these guys.
He deserved more.
Stupid.
Should have 2 million.
So James Neal got 8 games?
I got 5.
5 games.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then,
5 games.
And Greg Wyshynski went off about it. Did you read that article?
No.
He went off. He said, you know, anybody else, any team, any player that didn't have the skills pedigree of James Neal would be sitting for at least 8 games, if not 10, for that hit. And it's hard to disagree with that. If Rafi Torres did that, what do you think he'd get? 30?
Yep. Yeah.
50?
Yeah.
And Neal has a suspension history as well. Like he's not Lily White. He's not pure as a driven snow here.
So, what is Sean Thornton going to get for punching Brooks Orpik while he was on the ground?
He's going to get... I mean, he'll get
now.
Eight.
He has less of a suspension history,
yeah.
than James Neal.
Yes, yeah. I think he'll get 8. I think. I think he could get that much. Although it seems like Shanahan, they're playing with these union rules that says there's like an appeal if they get a certain number of games. So it seems like Shanahan's always trying to give like less than that. They're like trying to give 5 games because then they can't appeal or something like that. I don't know what the politics and the and all the rules gamesmanship is with all these suspensions are, but yeah, it's been a few bad days of, you know, things that aren't exactly making the sport look real good here. You know,
right.
We're seeing a lot of concussions and bad injuries in the NFL. And it seems like hockey sort of got its rash of bad injuries right now.
Just bad decisions.
And bad acts.
Just bad decisions. Like
yeah.
these are just really poor decisions by some of these guys who, you know, I love the big hits. I love the fights, but the dirty play, it's disturbing when you see
right.
something like that. Like someone's just intentionally trying to hurt somebody.
Right. I mean, there's no other way to describe Neal kneeing Marchand in the head, which is he tried to knock him out with his knee, right? He tried to knee him in the head when he was on the ground.
Yeah.
He had no way of knowing it was coming.
Yeah. If you're not playing a game where people have paid to watch it, that's an assault.
Yeah.
Right?
Like you're going to jail. You're doing time for
right.
that. Yeah,
this is what it is. It's you run up to someone and knee them in the head and run away.
Yeah, it's aggravated assault for those lawyers in the audience,
so
maybe. I don't know.
In the context of a game, it's okay.
It's different. But, it's totally different. I agree with you.
So
but still.
It is. There's no place for that kind of stuff. And you know, I hope that James Neal learned his lesson.
Doubtful. He's going to be on Team Canada Olympic team, probably.
Yeah. What? With maybe he'll be on the team with Brad Marchand.
let's close with that, because there's a little bit of news about, you know, the Olympic teams are going to start shaping up here pretty soon. The Olympics are February of next year. So, you know, Pavelski seems like a lock. It seems like, you know, the recent TSN projections has Marlowe in the mix now. Thornton is nowhere to be found on the list, which I think is slightly odd. Couture appears to be a lock. Boyle is at least in the mix, if not, I'd put him sort of in the middle in terms of, he's not a stone cold lock, but he's not on the bubble. And I think that's really what we're looking at. I mean, Pavs is going to be on Team USA, but is there any, you have any opinion? I mean, Thornton not even being in the conversation, but you look at the list of centers that they have, it's kind of ridiculous, right? It's like Taves, Crosby, you know, these guys.
Tavares
and Getzlaff, I think, were the four that they had. And can you honestly make it? I mean, we're Sharks fans, for God's sake, but I honestly can't make any kind of argument to say that Joe Thornton should play instead of Ryan Getzlaff or instead of John Tavares. I can't. I just can't make that argument.
Yeah. No, that if Joe gets left off the team, I don't think you can really throw much of a fit. And I would feel the same way about Marlowe, actually. I mean, if those guys get passed over,
the wingers list is, at least on the left side, is not nearly as deep as that
right.
list of centers, right? I think you look at some of the other lists and you say, you know, Marlowe's a point per game player again this year. I mean, he's 11th in the right. league in scoring.
Right.
And you're going to say this guy's a piker? And he can't,
I'm not saying he's a piker. I'm just saying that, you know, there might be younger players that are ready to take those spots. And,
that's
you know,
true.
With Boyle, it'd be the same way. Is Dan Boyle talented enough to play on the Canadian Olympic team? Yes. You know,
right.
Might they take a younger player instead? Maybe,
mm-hmm.
you know,
that's true.
They might.
That's
you know?
True. You know, they might want to get one of these, you know, these younger kids that are
if,
sort of up
if
and coming.
If Boyle's going to be the seventh guy
mm-hmm.
and they have to choose between Boyle and, I mean, I'm going to throw out a teammate and Vlasic as the seventh guy, they're going to take Vlasic.
Yeah, they might, because they're going to have plenty of power play quarterback type players on
right.
the team already.
And I think they take Vlasic because he is a little bit more versatile and is younger and might be part of the team down the future. Now, we're looking at this projections here from TSN, who know absolutely nothing about hockey since they lost the rights. And dude, the goalies, Carey Price, Luongo, and Mike Smith.
Yeah, fine.
On D, they have Vlasic in the top six.
Yeah.
With Bomeister, Weber, Petrangelo, Doughty, and Keith. With Dan Boyle and PK. How is PK Subban? Maybe they're not listing that in order.
Maybe they're not.
I mean, Subban's got to be a lock, right?
He's a lock. Bomeister, I'd say, was more on the outside.
So they have Dan Boyle. What's that? RD. What's that mean?
Right D.
Okay.
I think he's like sort of, they have like three
extra.
Left and
extra.
Five is right.
Well, they have him on the team right now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, these are the guys who go.
Mm-hmm. But
and
you
then,
look at left wing, you have Couture, Jamie Benn, Marlowe, Eric Staal, and Duchesne. And to me, I think Marlowe's definitely better than Staal. Duchesne's really cooled off. And Jamie Benn is a great up-and-coming young player. He's this kind of guy that you're mentioning who's really, you know, going to become a superstar. Maybe not all the way there yet. Maybe he's not necessarily better than Patrick Marlowe right this instant, but he's up and coming, so I could see that. They have James Neal fighting, Lucic, Sharp, Kunitz. Bergeron is a center.
Well, I'll tell you where I would get concerned is, you know, someone like Lucic is not as important in the international game.
Yeah,
right?
I totally agree.
You just don't need a guy like that. Patrick Sharp's a pretty damn good hockey player.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You know, if Marlowe
I would
lost
take Sharp
his,
over Ben maybe at this point. I think I might take him over Stahl.
But that's the same thing as like with Jamie Benn. I think you need Benn and Couture to be along for the ride.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you just can't have those guys be totally green in terms of their international experience on this kind of level. So you have them go and experience the Olympics, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, James Neal is also pretty damn good.
Yeah. You
know, so it'd be hard to make an argument if one of those guys, you know, maybe Kunitz would be the one. If they took Kunitz over Marlowe, I certainly would have a beef with that. But I mean, even if
they'd do that because they'd want to keep Kunitz and Crosby together, I think.
If they took Patrice Bergeron over Marlowe, could you argue with that?
No. I couldn't argue with
How
that.
Do they not take Patrice Bergeron?
Because you have Crosby, Taves, Tavares, and Getzlaff.
But you look here and you look at some of the centers that they have moving to play on the side, right? I mean, Stahl's a center.
Yeah.
I think I'd take Patrice Bergeron over Eric Stahl.
Me too. I would too.
But honestly, I kind of want them to screw this up because go USA.
USA.
Do they have projections of the USA?
No,
team?
I looked for them. I couldn't find them.
Of course they don't because darn Canadian media.
Stupid TSN. Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, dude.
Well, that was our Olympic discussion.
Good talk.
Well, it gets our mind off the Sharks and who knows what the hell's going on with these guys. But, you know, I just have a random feeling they're going to turn around tomorrow. Of course, they're going to lose by six. But whatever.
Nothing surprised me at this point. And like I said, dude, I'm not going to get too high or too low. Yeah, okay. They've lost four games in a row. Not that surprised. And could they rattle off four in a row the other way? Absolutely. And I expect it to happen at some point. And we'll just keep plugging away, dude. It really doesn't matter until we get to April anyways. So yeah. It's sad to feel that way, but like...
It doesn't matter until Rafi Torres comes back.
It just doesn't. I mean, I'm not disengaged. I'm not bored. I'm interested. But, you know, if they suck in February, I'll be worried.
Right.
If they are going through streaks now.
Sucking in December is excusable.
Well, I wouldn't say that choking away these leads is excusable. It's concerning, especially when they have a track record for it. But it's way too early. It's way too early for anybody to panic. And like I said, we'll probably be riding high on a chuck wagon of deliciousness.
What does that even mean? Go Sharks.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.